Christmas, Believers Church. I hope you guys have enjoyed this so far. If you're visiting with us today, if it's your first time with us, I just want to say, well, first, Merry Christmas, and thank you for choosing to come with us today. If your family drug you here and you didn't want to come, just hang in there. You'll enjoy it, I promise. If you don't have a church home, a place you call home that you can be looked after and you can be pastored and taken care of the way I think God's people should, then please know you're welcome here. You kick the tires as long as you need, hang around as long as you want. We love you just the way you are, and we're glad to have you here. You know, the holiday season, and I think God was laughing at me this morning, is one of those times when statistically psychologists and mental health people will tell you that our emotions are absolutely maxed out. Now, don't look at your neighbor or your family that's sitting beside you, but how many of you have a family member that comes around during the holidays that stresses you out? Yeah, y'all are lying too. You're just not wanting to raise your hands. But see, during the holidays, our emotions are so maxed out that we operate and make decisions off of the way these emotions lead us. Or maybe you fit the bill of, for you, the holidays remind you of something that you try to forget. You know, sometimes in the holidays that it reminds us of a loved one we've lost. Some of you, you know, I was blessed to have good memories of Christmas, have a good family life, but some of you may remember Christmases that don't exist. Mom or dad being gone, mom or dad being at work, no presents, you know, the whole, whatever the picture may look like. And you've never really been able to enjoy Christmas. You see, the world's gotten us off track in believing what Christmas is about. Something that we, Melanie and I, really guard closely with our girls. Now, don't get me wrong. Bless your kids. If you've got the means, bless them. But I think if we're not careful, they don't understand what we're celebrating. This moment in time when God intervened and this baby showed up that was not just a baby, but was the hopes and dreams of all eternity. Was the only way that mankind would ever, ever have a white Christmas. You see, we think white Christmas is all about the snow. Now, we're in South Georgia, and it's probably going to be 80 degrees on Christmas, so we did the best we could. This snow doesn't melt. It'll be here until we move it. But see, we sing the song, and we kind of did a play on the song. That's why we did it for you a minute ago. Didn't Weston do a great job? Now, let me say that there's more to come. Wait till I get done teaching what we got in store for you at the end. If it doesn't get you fired up, you need to go back to your doctor and ask for some help because your heart's not ticking. We got some more stuff coming, but see, we've never really experienced a white Christmas. See, I think some of us who even accepted Christ, we've received Jesus and we know we're going to heaven, but we really don't know how to receive the forgiveness that comes with it. You see, a white Christmas is truly a Christmas where the Bible says that He has washed me white as snow. He's made me clean. What we did and what Cam led us in communion to some people is just a religious, ritualistic act. But I believe that when we partake in communion together as a family of believers, listen to this. Communion has nothing to do with membership. It doesn't make you're not a member here, you can't take communion. No. The Bible says if you're saved and you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you're a part of the family, then as we celebrate communion, it tells us that He washes us white. All those times we thought we maybe were doing right, and God convicts us and we realize we've been doing something that wasn't right or we've walked away from God, that's the whiteness that I believe is truly Christmas. You see, for some of us, finding joy in Christmas is like looking in a snow globe. You take a snow globe and you look inside and there's this perfect scene. You may have gotten one as a child of somebody sledding or a little girl playing or a family in the snow. And then you shake it up and the snow's flying around and it's this beautiful, picturesque moment. Well, some of us have that same perspective of a white Christmas. We look down at it and all we can do is hope and dream. all you can do is hope. And God, I want that in my life. I want to wake up Christmas morning and have joy. I want to wake up Christmas morning with laughter around me. I want to wake up and celebrate it truly because of who you are. But we don't. We're looking at this snow globe, wishing that this perspective that we see could somehow be our lives. But look what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah was an Old Testament prophet, and most of the book of Isaiah is foretelling of Jesus. When you read it, it's talking about what God's going to do. God used Isaiah, and as Isaiah penned the book, I believe he was kind of seeing into the future, seeing what God's going to do. Now, he may not have fully understood it. I don't think many of us would have, if we were there in that time, would have understood if God had told us, hey, this is what I'm going to do. So look what he begins to do. He says, come now, let's settle this. In other words, we're going to put this to bed. I'm amazed how many Christians, now if you don't know God and this is new to you, then you're included in this too. But I'm amazed how many Christians haven't let God settle their past. They haven't let God truly just wipe the slate clean and say start over and put them back on the right track. So Isaiah is saying here, God, we're going to settle this. And he says, now listen, you have to pay attention, and especially in the Old Testament, there's a lot of imagery. And in the imagery, he says, listen, now your sins are like scarlet. Scarlet's a really deep, bright, vibrant color. And look what he lays it against. I will make them as white as snow. The things that you think I can't change, I can change. And we need to settle this in your mind. He goes on to say that though they are like red crimson. If you read through the rest of the Bible actually talks about the blood of Jesus and uses the term crimson. Uses that same vibrant color. He says, though they are like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. You see, we think of wool and we ride by a farm and we see those nasty old stinky sheep and they're dirty and nasty. But what kind of process does that wool have to go through? Once they shave those sheep, they don't just start weaving it into thread. That stuff's refined. It's pulled apart. The dirt's cleaned. It's smoothed out. It's fluffed up. It's dyed whatever color of garment's going to be made of. It's processed. And see here, God's saying, listen, we got to settle this. We got to settle this because I'm going to make what's dirty perfect. I'm going to make what you think I can make nothing out of the best thing, my best creation. Because the Bible speaks of us as his most favorite and prized creation. Because we were created in his image. So he says, let's settle this and put this to rest. I'm going to settle this issue. The things that marked you for bad, I'm going to mark you for good. The things that are flawed, I'm going to fix. And let's be done with it. You see, the world teaches this very different. The world just wants you to believe that you have to carry your scars. And they have to be out in front of you. And everybody has to see you for your past and see you for your wounds. But I don't believe that's what the Bible says. You know, really, there are four options for dealing with our past. And you can bury it. Burying it is the idea that I don't talk about it. I deny it. We talked a couple weeks ago about that we think we fool people. We bury our past thinking nobody sees it, but as soon as that conversation comes up, our face changes, our countenance changes, the way we act changes, and it's obviously burying it that no one will ever know doesn't work. The second thing is that you can beat yourselves up. If you've been around non-denominational circles or even in Christian music circles for a while, there was an artist named Keith Green. Keith Green was known for the oh poor me theology. You got to be broke. You got to beat yourself down. You got to really pay penance to get God to love you. Some of you can't enjoy Christmas because we're continually beating ourselves up for the mistakes we made. I'll tell you this, knowing this is no secret in Sylvania, that marriages are rough in Sylvania. And I truly believe one of the reasons that we go through marriages, and then you get marriages, and then they try again and try again. Is one, you take the same stuff with you. Two is that we continually beat ourselves up trying to make the next one work because you may have failed the first one. Or you expect the other person to beat themselves up because they failed, and we just carry this forward, never truly letting God make us white, make us clean, and listen, I've forgiven you, now move on. And then the third one is, I mentioned it there, that you blame others. It's not your fault. This is huge in our society today. This is major. Nothing is my fault. I know we're in the midst of heading into a presidential election year, and I'm not getting into the politics of it, but there's this movement in colleges now. I don't know if you've heard of it, but they call them safe rooms. Major Ivy League universities creating these places where people can go to not be offended. Like if talking about Jesus offends you, then they have a room that supposedly you can't talk about Jesus. Then they have a room for if talking about Islam if it bothers you, then you go to that room. And if you don't want to talk about gay rights or whatever, then you go to this. It's just, see what's underlying that. And as we celebrate Christmas, the God who sent his only son so we could have a free Christmas, a white Christmas, free from all of this bondage and baggage, is blaming other people. It's not my fault. It's not my fault that I'm offended. It's not my fault that I'm doing wrong. I was raised that way and I just can't stop. Or I was born that way. Or whatever your argument may be, whatever your political leaning may be, we blame ourselves. So to have a white Christmas is impossible. I mean, we blame other people because God says, listen, your sin I've forgiven. Let me take care of somebody else. Your mess I've worked on. Whoever else is around you, they can do it and deal with it for themselves. But look what happens in Isaiah. He continues on in Isaiah verse 20. Look what happens when you bury it, beat yourself up or blame others. He says, but if you turn away and you refuse to listen, you will be devoured by the sword of your enemies. And I know you're sitting there thinking, Pastor Clint, this is a very ho, 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 jolly, have a good Christmas sermon. When we're talking about being killed by your enemy's sword, hang in there. I'm going to show you the good stuff in a minute. You got to get this so that when you see the whiteness and the wholeness that God's going to do, you got to. See, what this means is not literally that a sword is going to come cut you up. But when you begin to bury your feelings, bury the fact that you can't accept forgiveness, or you begin to beat yourself up, or you begin to blame others, it's always somebody else's fault. I think the devil just begins to carve us up, and he begins to hurt us. And what happens when you're hurt and wounded? You develop more scars, and then you develop more scars. And I don't know if you've ever been burned, but I've got a few places on my hands where I was burned by, like, you know, a hot engine or something that scalded me. And you know what happens in that scar? You lose feeling, right? You lose that part of your skin. It's just, there's no feeling in it. Some of you can't have the freedom that God brings us and the whiteness of a cleansed and redeemed Christmas because you can't feel anything. Maybe it's in relationships you're numb to, or you can be in a relationship and you can have fun and you can maybe in your marriage be happy, but there's just something inside of you that won't let it progress anymore because you've been wounded. You've been hurt and now you've got these scars that have no feeling. Some of us, for experiencing a truly white Christmas, one where the ghost of their Christmas past, remember the movie? They had the ghost of Christmas past. Now, for all you holy, righteous people, that was the old Christmas movie, and it was a ghost. And it didn't get you, and you'll be okay. But this ghost of Christmas past showed up, and he kept pointing out all the way he used to be and all the things he did wrong. But to have a white Christmas that doesn't invade or knock you down emotionally, we head into Christmas and we get tense, and the devil begins to knock us off our game. We say things we don't mean. We behave things. Some of you know what I mean, and your next week or this week, as you go to a Christmas gathering with your family, and after about 10 minutes, you find yourself saying things you don't mean. Because that crazy uncle or that crazy aunt that nobody wants there, but you got to invite them anyway because they are a member of the family that stirring the pot. We're blaming ourselves, we're burying, we're beating ourselves up. But to experience a white Christmas, now here's the fourth one, I believe the correct choice. This one's not in your notes, but it'll be on the screen behind me in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 and 17. It says, so we stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ as merely human. He was here on earth. He's a man. He showed up on earth, which he was. He was fully man. And then Paul writes, listen, how differently we see him now. He changed the way we see things. In verse 17, it says, that means anyone who belongs to Christ has what? Has become a new person. Now, I wrestled this past week as I was preparing this message because I just began to think, man, this is going to be too simple of a basic gospel message. It's Christmas and we got to talk about the nativity and baby Jesus and get a little baby up here and get everybody goo-gooing on about a baby. But you know what? This is what we need to walk with today. God has come for us. He sent his son here and showed up through Mary, rocking the social world. Can you imagine the news hitting today? And we got Susie here, and Susie's pregnant. She's never been with a man. She's not been to the doctor. It's not in vitro. She just suddenly showed up one day pregnant. And oh, by the way, she's telling us that it's going to be God's son, and he's going to save all of y'all. Where would she be? She'd be in East Georgia Regional, locked down tighter, and, you know, be crazy. The news media would, the news media would be mocking us. Mocking her. Oh, yeah, it's never going to happen. Those people are crazy. They think God's going to send somebody to save them. But in that baby was Christ. And the Bible says when you believe on Christ, you're new. And here's the fourth, simple. I wanted you to take away a simple message today because we're going back to remembering that the way I have a white Christmas, the way I understand what God has done for me is this. Just believe God. Not only he is who he says he is, but he has done what he said he would do. And he sent Jesus as a child, fully man, to be tempted. The Bible says he was tempted in every way. The Bible even says that Jesus talked back to his parents. You remember when Jesus, they couldn't find him? Now, my parents are here in the front row, and if I said this to my parents, my mom and dad would have knocked me off my feet as a child. But remember when Jesus said, they're laughing, y'all know it's true. I got belts and spoons to prove it. Yeah, I needed it. But Jesus, they lost Jesus, and he was in the temple, and they found him up front, telling everybody how it's really going to go down. He was bringing down the house, preaching to them. And Mary and Joseph come back and go, where have you been? And Jesus looks back and says, you ought to know. I've been about my daddy's business. Don't you know that? That'd have been the end of me. But I think when they said it, Mary and Joseph realized this is no joke. And when people hear this and believe in God, people that belong to Christ, this newness, that he makes us white as snow. Looking at this in closing, and I'm going to give you three things in just a minute. 1 Timothy 1, verse 13. Paul's writing and says, even though I was a blasphemer and a persecutor, I was a violent man. I was not right. I was shown mercy because I was ignorant. I didn't know any better. I didn't know what I was doing was against God until God showed and revealed himself to me. My prayer is this morning that for maybe some of you who have walked away from God, and this is your annual pilgrimage back to church, You fit the bill of your grandma drug you here this morning, or your mom or dad threatened you with removal from the will if you don't show up this morning. That's okay. We told them to do that. We told them, use anything you can do to get people here, because once they understand this line here, because I received mercy because I didn't know any better. Look at verse 14. It says that the grace of our Lord Jesus was poured out on me abundantly. That in South Georgia just means honking a lot. Big amount. Overflowing. Abundance. Along with the faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. Verse 15. Then Paul says, here's something you need to pay attention to. Here's a trustworthy saying. That Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? To save sinners. To take the things that are scarlet and make them white. To make the stains that can't go away be gone forever. So how do we do this? I want to give you three quick things. How do we experience a white Christmas without the guilt, the shame, without the distrust, without the and refocusing and coming back to the that this is about a supernatural event that forever changed in eternity. It's not about if you get the right thing on Friday morning. I told Melanie this week, we were laughing by text message back and forth, talking about some other stuff for Christmas. And I said, if I'm just honest, I'm afraid to surprise you. Because we so communicate about finances, and I'm like, I can't go surprise you, because if I surprise you, I got to lie to you. And I don't want to lie to you, because if I lie to you, I'll get in trouble. And if I'm in trouble, Christmas ain't going to be so happy. You see, we forget what Christmas is about. It's not about how great. And some of you husbands put me to shame. Yeah, well, I pulled off all these surprises, and my wife's got presents piled this high, my kids. More power to you. But we lose sight of the fact that Paul says, he came to save me, and I was the worst. That's what Christmas is about. Getting up and going, God, I was the worst, and you sent your son for me this morning anyway. God, I chose to turn my back on you, and you sent your son. So how do we do it? Number one, stop trying to earn forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says that God saved you by his grace, and when you believed, and you cannot take credit for this gift. It is a gift. The thing you get on Friday morning, if you get nothing, if you have no tree, no presents, no turkey, no dressing, no gravy, no whatever your tradition is, you get up on Friday morning, you have a gift. And it was free and didn't cost any human anything other than Jesus Christ his life. Number two is start attacking lies with truth. Don't go back at the devil with your knowledge and what you think. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 30, that Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy and free from sin. When the devil comes and tells you, hey, you remember the way you were? You remember all those people that you've slept with? You remember all the stuff you've drank, snorted, smoked, shot, whatever it is you do with it? Remember all that stuff you've done? You can say, no, and neither does God, because the Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians 30 that I'm pure and holy and free from all of that mess. That when I get up on Christmas morning, my white Christmas is seen in the caverns of heaven and the space of heaven, and that God says, listen, they're clean. I don't see any problem with them because I see them through my son Jesus. And look at number three. And this one may require a little explanation. Stand in the turnaround. The Bible tells us that God will turn everything out for those who what? He's going to work it out for those who love him. Look what Genesis 50 verse 20 says. This is Joseph. Most of you know the story of Joseph and the coat of many colors. His brother hated him. They sold him out, took the coat, threw him in a ditch, sold him to sold into slave traders, and then Joseph had just the God-ordained life, and God kept bringing him out from these horrific places to eventually being number two in command. And it says, "You intended to harm me." He's talking to his brothers. "But God intended all this stuff you've done to me, all the stuff that's happened to me, all the people who've let me down, all the marriage issues we've gone through, all the family issues, all the money issues, everything that's happened to me. He brought me to this position. I'm telling you today that you're here in this position. You're here this morning. God has brought you to this position because he's going to save you. And I don't know about you, but this gets me a little more excited. I've dealt with the fact God saved me. But here's the thing. He brought you to this position, so what? So I could save the lives of people. See, your white Christmas, when you decide to walk away from God or just let Christmas be materialistic or let Christmas be kind of not really fully about understanding God. Ben, you guys can come on back up. Y'all need to prepare. But when it's not about serving God and the devil wins this battle, when you don't stop burying your past, you stop beating yourself up, you stop blaming others. See, God, Satan wins two battles. He's winning the battle for your life. He's also winning the battle of the people that you're supposed to touch. So when you get up on Christmas morning, you receive that free gift of Christ, that free gift of life, eternal life, a white Christmas. Understand that Christmas Day, it's not just about you. It's one of the things I love about our church and love about our hashtag of One Step, that our whole goal is to take people one step closer from where they are to what? Oh, y'all want to sleep. Let's try that again. To take one step closer from where they are to where what? To where God wants them to be. See, God wants them to be and experience the same white Christmas that you have. Christmas is not about you. It's about God reaching his people. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand with me, if you will? If you guys can go ahead and take the lights. As we get started, I want to offer you one quick thing. I want to know this morning, if you've never experienced the white Christmas, maybe you've been saved and you walked away from God, or maybe you fit the bill this morning. You're the one that was drug here. You didn't really want to be here, but your heart's pounding through your chest. You're just understanding, I've missed this. I need the love of God. I need this in my life. I need to stop beating myself up. I need to deal with my past. If that's you this morning, then for just a minute, with every head bowed, every eye closed, just take a breath. Take a breath and listen. That thumping in your chest is not just you itching to get out of here. I believe that's God. The Bible says that's the Holy Spirit drawing you to him. Before we move on, we do this before the end of every service. And today the service is not ending. We're just moving on a little early because we've got some more stuff for you. But if that's you this morning and you would say, "Clint, I need you to pray with me." And this is just between you and God. Everybody's with eyes closed, heads bowed. And there'll come a time when you're going to have to stand publicly and identify yourself with Christ. But right now, this is just you and God. And you would say, "I need you to include me. I need a white Christmas. I need to confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I need to return home to him. And I need to let him wash me clean. I need to let him heal my past and help me deal with my past." If that's you this morning, real quick, just wave your hand at me. There's a couple hands. There's a lot of hands. Anybody else? And my prayer and my petition to God this week is that as you go wake up Friday morning, everything will be brighter. Christmas will have a new meaning. Joy will be overflowing. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is strength to us. The places that you were weak, his joy will make you strong. I want to pray with you right now. Just if you raised your hand, maybe some of you didn't raise your hand, you would say, "I need to jump in on this. It's not too late. Jump in. We're all going to say this together. Say, Lord Jesus. Oh, come on. Say it like you mean it. It's a big day. Say, Lord Jesus. Today, I receive your Son, my Savior, my Deliverer. Wash me clean. Make me white as snow. Forgive me of my sins. I confess you now as my Lord and my Savior. I believe it in my heart and I confess it with my mouth that you have changed my eternity. You have changed my life forever. And this Christmas, starting Friday, will be white, clean, and forgiven. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,